the 19th chapter. Listen to these words again. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they shouted. This is the text, my dear brother and sister. Until Jesus rode in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, nobody ever had heard of a king who came in the name of the Lord. Kings are pretty proud folks, and they usually are on the top of the food chain. They don't need to come in the name of somebody. Kings come with their own authority, with their own power and pomp, with their own armies, with their own strength. No soldiers were visible in this parade, unlike the other kings that rode in. I did some snooping around the Encyclopedia Britannica in preparing for this message. And it is quite interesting, truly, of what kings made of their triumphal entries, the royal entry into a town. It usually meant that the king was coming to visit the town for the first time because he had just conquered that town and was attaching the town to his empire. And he would ride in, not a donkey, but in the biggest horse in the kingdom, the fierest, the trimmest, the strongest, the tallest. And that horse would be draped with a skirt all the way down to the floor. You couldn't even see the hoofs, let alone the legs of the horse. And the king sat pompously on top of that horse. There were four servants of the king with long sticks holding up an umbrella above the king on top of the horse, lest the king should be rained upon or the sun burn his skin. So the king was covered. In front, there was always an army of several platoons, at least. Behind, soldiers. On the sides, soldiers protecting the king. And an interesting thing that I discovered is that people would often have in those towns to which the king would come for the first time, a time of preparation with programs. They were trained on what to do when the king came. A whole week of activities preceded the king's entrance. Do you know what they called them? Advent. And I thought that we had the corner on the market on that word, the Advent wreath. No, Julius Caesar used Adventus, Latin for Advent, already 2,000 plus years ago. So this king is different. He actually said that he came to serve and not to be served by his subjects. This king came to seek and to save that which was lost, including you and me. This king came to serve, not to be served. A typical triumphal entry that I just described to you was something to behold. It ended with a big banquet in the city square, where all frolicked and praised the king and paid him homage, because the king is in our town. But the king often meant bad news too, because he brought new taxes, a new national identity to that town. He turned things upside down, and people were forced to welcome him. It was not spontaneous. But here, this king, divested of all power, no soldiers, no weapons, nothing is organized. Nobody knew that he was coming in town. It was all spontaneous. It was genuine. Blessed is he who comes not in his own name, but in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna is Hebrew for salvation has come, or the verb save us now. That's what they saying to this king. This king that comes humbly riding on a donkey without so much as a saddle on it. A king that came in the name of the Lord is truly unheard of. This king is different. And it's a good thing he is different, because the kings of the earth can only save us from ills that come from the earth, not those that come from the spiritual darkness of the devil and all of his whore hosts. Kings of the earth can save the body, can save the territory, but not spiritual territory, not the soul. That has to be saved by a king that comes in the name of the creator of the soul, one that knows what to do to save the soul. And that one is God, who sent his son into the world to save the world through him. The parade of this king here was different too, in that it preceded the conquest of the kingdom of darkness. The parades, the triumphal and the royal entrances of kings of the past were always after they had conquered some new territory, after the war was won. This was a time to celebrate. But this king would not have a banquet to celebrate anything. This king would give himself as a sacrifice for all of his subjects, whom he calls brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. This king has a personal, a family relationship to you and me. This king is family to us. He is our big brother, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. That's so beautiful about this king. The power of this king is not on the weapons carried by his soldiers. His soldiers carry no weapon except this one that conquers the whole world. The Word of God. Love, in other words. The Word that comes and offers forgiveness for those that are downtrodden, that offers strength for those that are tired and hurt, that offers healing and comfort for those that are sorrowful. This is the weapon by which the world is conquered. This king entering Jerusalem on a donkey had no soldiers. No weapons were visible. He was destitute. He had no pomp. He had no majesty. He did not inspire awe. He was not awesome. This king was humble. He came in the name of the Lord to do the bidding of the Lord, to do the will of the Father. And the Father wanted him to die for the rest of the Father's children that had gone astray. And the rest includes you and me. So we are thankful that the Father sent us this Son, this King, this servant. So the subjects of this King do not do the bidding of the King. They don't serve him. Rather, the King serves them. The king tells his subjects, stay here in the trenches while I go and conquer the enemy on that hill called Golgotha. And he ascends and gives his life for us all. This is the king that truly you and I were waiting for. This is the king at whose advent we are now living. You just said, and he will return in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the resurrection of the body. Our trajectory, our journey, our narrative does not end with our death. It goes on into eternity. This king made it possible for us. So, while ancient kings made much of a triumphal entry into town, our king just comes into Jerusalem. This this happened on the Sunday before the Friday in which he was crucified. 6 days. Hosanna to him who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to our King. 6 days later, crucify him, crucify him. That's how flippant, that's how flicker our human nature can be. We change our mind, our opinion in a heartbeat. But not if we are solidly founded on the Word of God. This is a foundation so solid that no nuance, no tragedy, no event in our life, no turn of history can ever change. We remain founded on the rock. The rock doesn't move, we don't move. And the rock has his strength and the power of the love of God for you and me. This is our organized program, Adventus, as we wait for our King to return in glory. This is not an Advent to prepare ourselves for Christmas, the celebration of his birth. Advent means prepare yourselves because he promised to come back and take us to be with him. So prepared we will be when he returns in glory. We prepare our hearts, not only our homes. We prepare our souls and we strengthen our faith by even adding extra midweek services during these 4 weeks before Christmas to be reminded once more of the importance to be ready when he comes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.